All right, it's Doctrine Tuesdays. Let's get it going. Here we go. Heard a little of that, a little bit of echo on that. I forgot to put my headphones in so that I have my speakers playing the intro music, but the mic is picking up the intro music. But anyway, it's a mess, but it's all good. This is Theologicus. My name is Joseph Louthan. I welcome you to the channel. Today is Tuesday. If you're here on Tuesday, that means you found us accidentally, or you're ready to pray like the Lord prays, okay? And my hair's a little bit messed up, and the only reason why is because I was wearing a cap all day, so now I have a cap head. All right, but that's okay. We are going to go into it, and today, okay, so let's walk through what we've studied so far, okay? We had an introduction to the Lord's Prayer, how not to pray by the Lord's command. First we start off, and then the first thing we do to pray like the Lord, we have to believe and trust in the Lord, okay? There's no exceptions to that. And then once we start praying, let's pray to our Father in heaven, because he is our Father in heaven, and his name is to be, is holy, and is to be revered as holy, okay? And so we're praying through that, and I hope taking the time, slowly building up, you can start like, you can start putting together your own prayers, okay? They don't have to be formulaic. They don't have to be like the same thing over and over again. But, you know, let's keep things in mind. Trust in the Lord. Trust that you pray, and he's gonna do according to your prayers. That doesn't mean you get to control God. But if you are believing and trusting in him, he is going to carry through that. It might not look like the way you want it, but you got to trust in him. Otherwise, you're just, why are you praying, right? And to step into the presence of God with fear and trembling. And what I mean by that is like not a fear that he's going to strike you dead. That's not how God operates, okay? It is that he is to be feared above all. All of our fears are cast aside. We place our fears, but our trust and hope in him, because he's the only one who saves, okay? Now, all of that, we're building, and now we're getting to that the Lord's kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Savior, is here. We pray as though it is here. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is right now. How many times through the Gospels have you heard Jesus say, repent, for the kingdom of God is here? When you start at the beginning of the Gospels, you're going to hear John the Baptist and Jesus will say the kingdom of God is near, and now it's here. Or the kingdom of God is coming, then it is near, and now it's here. And how do we know it's near? Let's take a look at that, okay? But we pray as though we pray as though Jesus' work was satisfactory, complete, perfect, did what he accomplished to do, done and done, right? Okay, let's get into it, okay? We start off in prayer. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you. God, help me to slow down. And help me to keep my eyes on you. Help us to keep our eyes on you. God, where we need our hearts removed and you give us your new heart, Lord, would you do that today? The only way we can pray to you is that if we believe and trust in you. We love you so much. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Okay. So we are going to pray then like this. But here is the ramifications of that prayer, okay? So let's go into it. Matthew 6:10 from the CSB, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today we're going to talk about the kingdom of God is here, okay? So, and what are we referring to? Let's go to Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So, and I'm going to go back up. I want you to see this little outline. So, what do we mean by the kingdom of Christ is here? What do we mean by that? And how do we pray into that? Well, we have to know. I mean, we know in our hearts, in our minds, we must know these three things. You ready? Okay. Well, I'm gonna put it this way. Let me reorganize it a little bit. We're gonna know two things. Okay, we're gonna know two things, and in that we get to pray like this. Okay, so let's go. First of all, for the kingdom of Christ to arrive and it's here on earth, what that actually means is that Christ lived the perfect life that everyone should have. We were born when we were first made by, and we're not talking about first made, we're talking about Adam and Eve. When mankind was first born, when they first created, they were in perfect obedience to God. God, when he created everything, said everything was good. When he created man, when he created mankind, he said everything was very good. Okay? Now, we all know the story. We all know the narrative. Genesis 3, we live in that narrative where sin has broken the entire world. What makes Christ not just an ordinary man? He was fully God. He was fully man. Yet, it wasn't because of his perfection in his godhood that made him perfect. It's that he actively obeyed and completed the obedience to God the Father. Okay? And we know this from and we know this all throughout Scripture, but I'm going to give you the best example. Philippians 2, starting at verse 5, adopt the same attitude as of that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he came as a man, when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by how? Becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. This is the reason God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every other name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And if you want to know kind of like behind the scenes of where that happened, link up John 20 and Daniel 7 and put Philippians 2 and put it all together. There is your answer. That's behind the scenes. That's another episode. All right. So we know that he perfectly lived, okay, but it wasn't enough for him to live because he was the worthy lamb that was slain. You're going to see that all throughout scriptures. If you want to see it over and over again, just go read Revelations, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of people call it the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? So it was not only in his death, in his life, but in his death, okay? Now we're trying to realize, how do we pray to the Father, okay? We acknowledge him as Father. Holy is his name, but his kingdom is here. How do we pray into that? We know this. Christ lived, Christ died. Christ has died. Therefore, by his death, okay, by his death, he has conquered all of our enemies. Now, if you live in a world, if you live in a political world, a social justice world, where you think the other person who's living on this earth, you think another human being is your enemy, you're wrong. You're just wrong. You're wrong. If you're a Republican thinking a Democrat is your enemy, you're wrong. If you're a Democrat thinking a Republican is your enemy, you're wrong. You see where I'm going with this? You're wrong. That's not who our enemy is. As a Christian, as a believer in God, the other person. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they want to take your life. Your life belongs to Lord, right? If you are martyred, then you would go to heaven. You would be with God. Do you see that? And we can never die. So our lives are here, and Christ, and throughout the Gospels, especially in the New Testament, our lives are but a vapor, okay? You must understand, people who mean you harm, people who are meant to do evil against you, first of all, God means that for our good and your good. And I don't want to get into it. I don't want to, like, kind of explain, well, I had somebody who was murdered. How can that be for my good? Let's go to God. Let God speak into that. Let God preach into that. Let God comfort us in our losses, okay? But I know whoever did this evil to you is not your enemy. Rest assured, is not your enemy. I am fully convinced. Because if that's the case, I have many enemies, and that's exhausting. That is tiring. They cannot be my enemies. Ephesians 10, and this is where, and you're like, well, Joe, you must have a lot of therapy or something. No, it's in the scriptures. Ephesians 6, starting verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. You want a clue of who your real enemy is? Let's go into it. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. This is the word of God to us. Flesh and blood does not war against us. I don't care what they do, right? But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil and spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Not only has God conquered our enemies, and we're about to list those enemies. Number one, fear, okay? Now, where do I get that, right? We talked about fear earlier today when we pray. It's like, Lord, like, keep my fear upon you and not anything else. And this is where I get this from. Romans 8, starting at verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. A couple weeks ago, we just talked about praying to God as Father, and that's how we should. The reason why is because we have the Spirit dwelling in us. The twofold is that, one, we're adopted to God, forever his heirs and co-heirs with Christ. Second, we're not going to go back into the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. God is taking care of that. Okay, by putting your trust in, God's going to work that out in you, I promise you, okay? Hope my mic is on. Okay, and second of all, I may get these points off, but here is the other enemy, our true enemy of us. You ready? Sin. When Jesus died, he took our sins with him into the grave. Romans 6, starting in verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. So we were once enslaved to fear and enslaved to sin. Since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you two consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now this may be the first time you've ever heard this. And I hope your mind is starting to be changed by God. Because the next enemy we're going to talk about, your real enemy, is Satan and demons. Colossians 2:9. Well, how did God defeat them in his death, right? I'm going to skip. This passage is right here on the notes. Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and read, starting at verse 9. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwell bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done by hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised you from the dead. And when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all of our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. His death on the cross. His death on the cross brought back this. You ready? Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him. Rulers and authorities, every time you see that, that is Satan and his demons. Okay? The ruler, the principalities of the air. Okay? Things, the spiritual realm that we cannot see with our human eyes, but trust me, it is real. It is real as it gets. And they're coming for you, but hey, you're putting your trust and hope in him. They've already been defeated, and I will continue. They are a weakened, defeated foe who's grabbing at the last straws, trying to get what they got until they are cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. That's Revelations 19 and 20, okay? I'm going to tell you something. A couple of days ago, I had a dream where once I woke up and prayed through that dream, I understand that I had a demonic attack coming against me. It was about to come up. And in the next dream I had, it was something that was trying, something in this world was trying to draw me offside. By the grace of God, that spirit revealed that to me, and I was able to pray for protection. The only thing I could pray for when I reached out to God and said, God, would you protect me? I have no clue what to expect. I've been attacked before, but I have no clue what to expect this time, right? And it's probably something I'm not familiar with or anything like that, but I trusted God. Why do I trust God? Because I put my trust in Christ. Christ is the only defeat of those foes. And it's not that you're not going to be attacked, right? Now, complications in this world, or, you know, your car breaking down or whatever, those are not demonic attacks, okay? Just pause, you know, tap the brake, right? But when you are tempted with something you have not faced ever, or it's been a long time since, that may be a demonic attack, you know? And so, man, wearing that headpiece. Oh my God. Okay, there we go. Okay, so I say that all to say is that when I prayed, I said, God, protect me. And I know you will protect me because of what your son has done. Okay? Okay. All right. Also, the enemy of mankind, the enemy of the believers is, again, not unbelievers, but hell itself. And we read at the beginning where Peter acknowledges Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God. But look at Jesus' response to this, okay? Continue on in Matthew 16. Jesus responded, blessed are you, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. You see there? His kingdom, the church, was always the plan. Ever since the fall of man, that was the plan of God. And his kingdom will rule and reign forever and ever, and not even the gates of Hades will overpower it. In the ESV, it says, the gates of hell will not withstand. It's, in other words, is the kingdom of God is pushing out, and nothing in hell can stop the pushing out of the kingdom of God. You hear me? Okay. And last but not least, not even death, not even the greatest, the mightiest foe that mankind will ever acknowledge altogether, believer or unbeliever alike, they can at least say death is an enemy. Let me go into Romans 8, verses. We'll start at verse 7. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And I promise you, I'm getting somewhere with this. Just hold on. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, okay, we talked about the body before in Romans 6. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. Let me give it one point. I've been like teaching and proclaiming the gospel, especially against legalism, against self-righteousness. But let me try to tie this home. Who do you rather trust with your own righteousness? You with your works? And you hoping that you can be good enough or perfect enough or have good intentions? Or would you rather not trust the Spirit of God who actually raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Who do you put your trust in, yourself or God? It's a no-brainer. It should be a no-brainer, and you'd be surprised. However, for us to understand anything that God does and God gives to us, God has to reveal it in our minds and our hearts as it open up our eyes. He has to open up our ears for us to like, oh, I get it now. Until God does that, if you don't understand what I just said, I don't think it's because I have a problem speaking. Your mind just cannot wrap around it. And God has to do that work. God has to reveal it to you. Okay? Now we say all that to say in his perfect, redeeming, conquered kingdom, we are now more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I talked about me praying against demonic attacks on my own life, on my own spirituality, with my own, even my morality, and when I'm my own morals, and my temptation into sin. Well, let's look at what Romans says, okay? Continue on Romans 8. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written. Okay, this is absolutely true. Because of you, we are put to death all the day long. We are counted to be sheep as slaughtered, or to be counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul says, God says, Jesus says, Holy Spirit says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, here is the prayer for today. We're building on. Let's take this. The kingdom of God is here. We are to repent. Let's go to God. He is our Savior, our Lord, our strong tower, our shield, our Almighty. Okay? Let's go to God. My Lord, you have perfectly obeyed our Father in heaven. I'm praying to Jesus. You have perfectly obeyed our Father in heaven. I believe and trust in you. You are my Savior. You have removed my fear. Place my affections in all in you alone. You have freed me from sin. Keep me from sin. Satan and demons have been conquered. Keep me from their fiery arrows. You have not abandoned me in hell. You will not let me see corruption. Keep me in your presence where there is only life, fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore. Death is a conquered foe. I am forever alive in you, because you dwell in me. Amen. And that's today's episode. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you are turned to God. If you do not know God, seek after God, pray to God, say, Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to come in right now to save me. And for you to actually pray that prayer, was God's already at work in your heart. I know this. I've been teaching this for 30 some odd episodes. I know this. Not because I know it, it's because the Word of God says. The Word of God is true. We can believe and trust in Him. Okay? I love you guys so much. Thank you for coming. We are going to be tomorrow, it's going to be Gospel Meditations in the Pastoral Epistles. I hope to see you on. And if you have any prayer requests, just reach out to me. If you're on Facebook, just leave a comment or send me a message. If you're on YouTube, you can leave a comment. If you are on Twitch, I don't think there's a way to leave a comment. But also, you can go to theologic.us, and there's all kinds of links, and you can just find a way to get a message to me. I would love to pray for you. I would love to pray for you every single day. Love you. God bless you. See you later.